What a beautiful morning. This beautiful choir, the music, the sanctuary, the smiling faces. What more can we ask for at this season? If you would, in the you take your pew Bible and turn in the Old Testament to page 667. The reading comes from Isaiah 41 through 11. We know here that the people have now returned from the exile, and what a wonderful beginning that God is saying, comfort, comfort my people. They have paid for their sins. I love them, and I want them to be comforted. And then he goes on to say that this voice cries out that we need to prepare a path through the way of the Lord. Now, I don't really think he means to go out and build a real highway through the desert. I believe that we're preparing more personally, that it's the wilderness, that we're preparing a highway through the wilderness of our lives and the desert of our hearts, where now we need to prepare, as we are preparing now, for the coming of the Messiah. So join me and think about these things, how they apply to each one of us. Isaiah 40, 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And a voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. Now, if you'll turn in the New Testament portion of your Bible to 238, to our New Testament reading, which is 2 Peter 3, 8 through 15. Here, Peter is encouraging the Christians to live a godly life. And again, assuring them if they follow the teachings and stay faithful, God will keep them strong. And he's also reminding us that God's view of time is quite different from ours. I mean, compared to eternity, an age seems no longer than a day. And I think here, Peter is indicating God's patience and mercy with us. He's giving us time because he wants everyone to repent. He loves us all. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 15. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will mount with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Peace. Patience. Hope. Peace. They're terms. What do they mean to you? What do they mean to you each and every day? What do they mean to you in the life that you live? Faith, which is the hope for things not yet seen. We hope for those things. We hope for the blessing. We hope for the sun to rise each day, and oh, as it streams in the windows, it looks nice. Peace. We ask for him through his presence to bring us peace. Peace in a troubled world. Peace in a hectic world. Peace in a grieving world. Peace in a family that's in turmoil because of an expectation and a hope that didn't work out the way they had hoped. We pray peace into those lives. We know that each and every one of us, our lives are temporary. But each and every moment of the lives with our loved ones is so precious to us. How can we not grieve and have some sorrow when that is taken, when they are no longer with us? Yes, we celebrate and take joy and comfort, and there's a sense of peace knowing that we're going to be with them again. That's the hope. Peter speaks in his second letter to the and again, just as Paul had addressed, people are looking for the end times. When's it going to happen? When is God going to come back? When is Jesus going to come back in his glory? When are we going to hear the trumpet sound? Whether it's 1 Thessalonians 4 or Revelation chapter 20, the Christian church, the early Christian church, was looking for that day when he would come back. And we were all looking for a resurrection body and a new Jerusalem and a new heaven and a new earth where we would all be together with Jesus. There would be no more sin. There would be no more death. There would be no more illness. There would only be peace in the presence of Jesus. Now, you can tell that to a group of people and they're going to say, right, but we want it now. Patience, we want that now. Peace, we want that now. The song, Come, Lord, Quickly, Come. Yes, we call for God to come quickly, but the challenge for us is in the infiniteness of God, there's this finite thing called human life. And when we try to compare our concept of time in waiting and anticipation, we have this huge challenge. One day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. And for those of you who think the only thing we need is the New Testament, when you go home, just write down Psalm 90, verse 4. Look that one up. So Peter is merely restating, again, something that had been told. And Psalm 90, verse 4. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. First and foremost, it's not yet. Jesus is not back here yet because all of the signs have not been fulfilled. We have a hope for it. We have an anticipation for it, but it hasn't happened yet. So when is it going to happen? Well, it's in God's timing. I know that's not what we want to hear, because we want to know something definitive. We want to know something finite. We want something that we can calculate, some date we can put on our calendar, some date that we can put in the timer on our phone so that we'll be ready when Jesus comes back. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Now, that's not that He's going to sneak up on us and steal everything, but He's going to come with total expectation as to the exact time. So what's the point there? First, the fact is our timing is not God's timing. God's timing is what controls everything. And in the infiniteness of creation, what do you think 1,000 years is? What do you think your and my lives are? Infinitesimally small. But yet, God still cares about you. Every day and every moment of your life is precious. Those 2 hours of that precious little baby, to the parents and to God, even those 2 hours were precious in His sight. Whether you live to be 102 or 103 or 105, each of those moments is still precious in God's sight. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. But the thing is, the day of the Lord will come. There will be judgment. We will face God. We will come into His presence. And since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, in the sense that He's speaking of the world to be destroyed, the created earth that's here now, the old earth will be destroyed, and the new heaven and a new earth will come with Christ. What sort of persons ought you be to be leading lives of holiness and godliness? That's what He expects us to do. Well, goodness gracious, how are we supposed to do that? What's holiness? What's godliness? Well, we can look to Scripture and see. Love one another. What? How? Jesus says, love one another. How? As I have loved you. He gives us examples. Know, love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Holy living, godly living. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by Him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard patience of our Lord as salvation. Well, first He tells us to wait. And then, not only does He tell us to wait, but He doesn't tell us how long we have to wait. What's the limit of your patience? Three points in the Scripture that we have today. One is that God's time is not our time. Our time is not God's time. That tells us what? God is in control. We don't like it that way necessarily, because we'd like to be in control, but guess what? He's in charge. Timing is of His. But we have this certainty, this assurance that He is coming back. Now, because He's coming back, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be living a life as best we can, holy and godly. Now, it didn't say perfect, because what's the beauty of being a Christian? We ain't perfect, but we is forgiven. How is that so? Think of this. The key word here is repentance. One, not that we're always going in the right direction, because we're not. Repentance is when we recognize that the direction we're going is the direction of the world, and it's not the direction of God. And we have to do a what? We have to return. We have to turn around and come back and face Christ, Jesus, doing the things that He's called us to do, to treat our brothers and sisters with love and compassion, to share our hope, His hope, in our lives. How many of you have watched Christmas Carol? Different versions? Oh, come on. Everybody's seen a Christmas Carol. All right. Or Scrooge, or whatever you want to call it. Well, Scrooge is probably a little more on the secular side. But think about this. We were watching it last night, and as I was rolling through my mind, how impactful this was. Patrick Stewart was the actor in this one. The main actor in this. And you see he's led his life focused on earthly things. And when those angels show up, past, present, and future, and you see as he evolves and realizes how many other people are affected by life and how He can affect. He can impact. He should be doing those good things. And he feels remorse at the lost love. He feels sadness at his inability to help. His own grieving and his own coldness is driven by his own desire and hope. And that angel of the future comes and shows up with him and shows him what life would be like without Tiny Tim. And what life would be like for him when his time is done and the only thing that's happening is the people that used to be servants are coming in and selling all of his bedclothes, taking his shirt, this fine silk shirt off, and they're selling it for whatever they can get. And his life is nothing more than just a few pieces of material and penny. And no one grieves for his passing. And he asks the ghost of Christmas future, is this how it must be? Is this how it may be? Is there something I can do? And he pleads with him, if there's some other way. He comes to that aha moment, and it's called repentance. It's when he realizes that the world is not the end all be all. That the people and what God wants us to do is what we need to do. So what does he do? He turns around. He wakes up that morning. He throws open the window and he looks out and the little boy's out there. And he says, what day is it? It's Christmas. Well, go and get the goose from the market and take it to the Cratchits. And don't tell them than I did. And then he learns humility and he goes to his nephew's home where they're celebrating Christmas, and he comes in and he says, is there any room in this home for me? Is there any room at your table for me? Think of this. If we live our whole lives focused on the earth and the world around us, things and material, we miss out on the opportunity to share love, to be loved. Repent. Make the way straight. Live godly lives. Because God is patient and He is waiting for you and for me. We have an opportunity to get ourselves right with God. For that's righteousness. And while we're waiting for Him to come, because none of us knows the day, Jesus says, not even the Son. We're not passively waiting. You pull up to a stoplight. You're driving in your car. You're waiting for that red light to turn green. Well, what are you doing? You just close your eyes. You shut down everything and you just fall asleep until the light turns? No. You're waiting. You're checking it. You're looking to the left. You're looking to the right. You might even be texting. Who knows? Not while you're driving. But you're waiting there at that stoplight. Waiting for what? For the green light. And then once you start again, what are you doing? You need to be looking left, right, front, back. You need to be paying attention to things that are going on around you. We can be actively waiting for the coming of Christ, Jesus Christ, by doing those things that He calls us to do. Acts of piety and acts of mercy. We can read. We can pray. We can meditate. We can fast. We can give. We can share. We can sing. We can worship. For He is certainly, assuredly, most definitely, indubitably coming soon. Are you ready? I am. I hope you are too. Shalom.